every night and every day. Never forget to say La ilaha illa
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, if you remember, we made you familiar with the views of British thinker Hamed Algar on Imam Khomeini. Algar, teacher of Islamic studies in Berkeley University of California, believes that the Islamic Revolution would have never triumphed without the leadership of Imam Khomeini. Today we are going to deal further with his views on the personality of Imam Khomeini. Stay tuned, please. British University professor Hamed Algar, in an article titled Imam Khomeini During the Years Before the Revolution, points to the Imam's unique leadership not as an accidental and sudden phenomena, but the outcome of 15 years of incessant political and ideological endeavor, an organization of the entire nation in a single direction. He also points to the three important periods of the Imam's life as a whole with a single identity. Algar says Imam Khomeini had found a vision of Islam which encompassed all his spiritual, political, social, and ideological dimensions. The Imam had not even an iota of doubt in the course that he had chosen. The two outstanding aspects of Imam Khomeini's character were continuity of efforts and being uncompromising. Algar writes, the three periods of the Imam's life are the decades of formation of a spiritual and political character, the era of long struggle against the Pahlavi regime, and the years of the revolution and the Islamic Republic. From the very beginning, the Imam got a conspicuous vision of Islam which contained its spiritual, ideological, social, and political dimensions. He remained on this vision for over half a century. Indeed, one of his prominent characteristics was the high scale of persistence, and being uncompromising was the only evident aspect of this persistence. The British thinker has tried in this article to pay attention to Imam Khomeini's training and upbringing through the years to set a ground to analyze the occurrence of the Islamic Revolution. Hamed Algar maintains that Imam Khomeini's personality was mainly built up of firm belief in the personality of ulema in guiding and defending the Iranian society, belief in the necessity of strengthening spiritual aspects of Islam, hatred and rejection of the despotic Pahlavi regime, a strong resolve for cleansing the Islamic countries from the penetration of foreigners and distrust in secular intellectuals. Algar writes, the Imam studied the life of those ulema whom he had chosen as his role model. He had high skill as a teacher and a speaker. He stuck to an orderly and hard worship program and found a core of loyal followers who later on took control of most of the executive affairs. The British writer points to the childhood of Imam Khomeini and the high popularity of his father in the central city of Khomeini, whose martyrdom by then regime was very sad for masses. He writes, it can be guessed how deeply and quickly Imam Khomeini was impacted by the news of the father's martyrdom. For sure, the naming of his son as Mustafa showed his love of keeping his father's name alive. Algar continues that the first time that the Imam witnessed the despotism of the Iranian regime was in childhood. He writes, Sayyid Murtaza, the Imam's elder brother, reminded to me in a conversation that Imam Khomeini had been a decisive person since his childhood. The martyrdom of their father and the death of their mother later on aggravated their concern, and thus these two brothers considered it as an obligation to guard their home in turn with rifle. The sense of regular struggle was further strengthened with the conditions of the family life. British researcher Hamid Algar continues, no doubt Imam Khomeini had a feeling of internal loyalty and fealty to ulema as the inheritors of the prophets and the imams, and as the guardians and narrators of religious instructions which are essential to renew the prosperity of the Islamic society. Algar writes on the role of the Islamic wisdom and irfan, Gnosticism, in the formation of the Imam's social and political character. It seems that purification of the view and will which exists in Irfan, like political activity, has been at the service of Imam Khomeini as an internal revolution that has naturally created its external peer through the time. In the beginning of the Islamic Revolution in 1978, Imam Khomeini mentioned the factor of victory with extraordinary Gnostic vocabulary. He said that the people had put themselves at the presence of God and have attained divine entity. He described several times the martyrs of defense against the Iraqi assault as those who have achieved Allah's meaning. Dear listeners, on that note, we have to wrap up this episode. Next time, we will continue the discussion.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, eating healthy in our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is such an honor to be here at your service. In today's episode, we are talking about eating healthy in our Islamic lifestyle. So, dear friends, when we are talking about our Islamic lifestyle, one of the things that's really important is eating healthy. Now, there's a whole bunch of different, you know, fashions and fads and, you know, diet plans out there in order for us to be able to eat healthy. This eating healthy seems like it's a very secular and a very, you know, non-religiously affiliated concept. This is the farthest from the truth. When we look at all the divinely appointed messengers and prophets of the Almighty Allah, peace and blessings upon them all, they spoke about eating healthy. And if we just go to the most recent times, well over 1,000 years ago, before any of these healthy diet fads and, you know, kind of fashionable things came into being, we find that over 1,000 years ago, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he spoke about eating healthy. And we find that the divinely appointed Imams, alayhimus salam, peace and blessings upon them all, they spoke about the importance of eating healthy in a Islamic lifestyle. Matter of fact, one of the things that they emphasized was eating healthy when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we're talking about Islamic lifestyle and we are talking about eating healthy. Now, we said in the previous segment that eating healthy is not something which came about and was some sort of innovation from the secular world or the Western world or the non-religiously affiliated world. Matter of fact, eating healthy is a divine command and it has been taught not only by Islam and the different messengers of the Almighty Allah, peace and blessings upon them, but also the divinely appointed Imams. Matter of fact, we have a book by the name of Tibbur Ridha, which is apparently the different statements and traditions of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, the 8th divinely appointed Imam, which specifically speaks about the medicinal aspects and what to eat, what not to eat, what to take for certain diseases, what not to do in order to cure certain diseases, and pretty much this eating healthy lifestyle. So if we want to truly live an Islamic lifestyle and we want to be able to expand our Islamic lifestyle, then one of the things that we are going to have to do is to eat healthy. Now, there's a lot of different factors and variables within this eating healthy, which inshallah we will speak about in other programs. But first and foremost, we have to give due credit to where it is due. Eating healthy and living a healthy lifestyle is a fundamental and primary aspect of a Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
in the limelight.
In a multilateralist vision that takes into consideration the progress and independence of people in Latin America and builds a common front against American hegemony, Iran and Bolivia have resolved to strengthen their partnership, especially in the security spheres. And that is why Iran-Bolivia security partnership has rattled Americans and the Zionists. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted, on July 20, 2023, the plurinational state of Bolivia and the Islamic Republic of Iran signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Defense and Security Cooperation, which could be a model to follow for all Latin American countries. The MOU was inked by Iran's Defense Minister, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani, and his Bolivian counterpart, Edmundo Novillo Aguilar, in Tehran. Iran's defense minister said Latin American countries hold a special place in the Islamic Republic's foreign policy and extended full support to the landlocked country located in Central Latin America. Aguilar's visit to Tehran came after the Iranian president's successful three-nation tour of Latin America that raised many eyebrows in the U.S., which sees Latin America as its backyard. The strengthening of security ties between Iran and Bolivia compounded the fears about Iran's so-called infiltration in America's backyard, with Washington Post and many other Western media outlets raising an alarm. The Institute for the Study of War, a neoconservative American think tank that has for years warned about Iran's growing influence in Latin America, claimed that Iran intends to sell drones to Bolivia as part of the security deal. It was reported by many media outlets as well. A day after the MOU was signed, Argentina sent a note to Bolivia's embassy seeking information about the scope of the discussions and possible agreements reached. Even Bolivian opposition lawmakers sought information regarding the defense and security memorandum of understanding signed between Novillo and Ashtiani on July 20. Delegación de Asociación, Israelites, Argentinas, DAIA, an umbrella organization of Argentina's Zionist community, found the time opportune to renew attacks on Iran and resort to Iranophobia. The organization of extremist Zionists has, in the past, blamed the Lebanese Hezbollah resistance movement and Iran for the July 1994 bombing of a Jewish center in Buenos Aires, which killed 85 people, despite no shred of evidence to substantiate the claims. These pro-Israel lobbies in Latin America, as well as in the United States, have employed various pretexts to persuade the international community to exert pressure on Iran, including crippling sanctions that affect ordinary citizens, including critical patients. Now, they are hell-bent on placing Bolivia all on the blacklist for its security cooperation with the Islamic Republic, as they did with Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua for different reasons. The Islamic Republic of Iran, in line with its policy of supporting the oppressed nations, has gone out of its way to help countries in Latin America, sending gasoline tankers to blockaded Venezuela, establishing hospitals in Bolivia, providing oil, energy, agricultural and livestock assistance to Nicaragua, or helping Cuba in fishing, biotechnology, and water resources. These countries are often labeled as the axis of evil or dictatorships precisely because they refuse to submit to America's hegemony and warmongering. The consolidation of bilateral ties between Iran and Bolivia has been going on for more than 16 years, and that has rattled the right-wing forces, the Zionist lobby, and the White House. They fully understand that the Islamic Republic is today a regional power and a bulwark against terrorist forces in Western Asia and a linchpin of the resistance axis. It does not, unlike the U.S. regime or its allies, carry out coups or invasions, but helps and supports countries that are independent. History is witness to how the U.S. regime has destabilized the world, from West Asia to South Asia, to Africa to Latin America, through invasions, coups, and unilateral military interventions. Take, for example, the coup in Panama in 1989, the invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, the invasion of Iraq in 2003, the overthrow of Haiti government in 2004, the failed coup against Venezuela in 2020, support for the coup in Bolivia, and more recently in Peru. When there is awareness of the criminal barbarity of the enemies of free nations, the resistance of these nations will continue and become stronger. Bolivia is doing just that by exercising its sovereignty and signing pacts and alliances with countries such as the Islamic Republic of Iran. The future belongs to these countries, not the U.S. regime or its allies.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
The history of Iranian carpets.
Part 3.
It was almost from the middle of the 1980s that a large number of production units entered the market in this field, many of which are today one of the largest manufacturers of machine-made carpets in Iran. After the Islamic Revolution, one of the problems that Iranian carpets were faced with was currency issues and the US sanctions. Despite the sanctions and the presence of rival countries such as India, Pakistan, and China, it has become difficult to export Iranian carpets. Rival countries imitated the patterns of traditional Iranian carpets and offered carpets similar to Iranian carpets and sometimes even more delicate. Under the name of Iranian carpets, which foreign buyers couldn't identify, they're not Persian. The export of carpets in these countries is supported and the wages of the weavers are low. As a result, the carpets of these countries are often offered in the market at a low and uncompetitive price. From the beginning of the 1970s, the importance of carpet weaving in Iran's economy, particularly in terms of generating employment and providing foreign exchange income, was noticed. It was here that the first international exhibition of carpets of Iran was held in the permanent location of the exhibitions in 1992, and at the same time as the annual meeting of the International Conference on Carpet in Tehran, famous carpet experts and businessmen from 14 countries came to Iran, and this event raised the status of Iranian carpets in the world. After that, this international exhibition was held every year because it also boosted the domestic carpet market. As a result of this exhibition, a large number of carpet sellers turned to producing carpets, and gabe weaving, which was almost forgotten in the pre-revolution era, flourished again. Gabe is a traditional variety of carpets with the difference that it is usually prepared in smaller sizes and longer piles, and it is the handmade art of the nomads. After the second international carpet exhibition, in 1993, new woven samples of gabe came to the market, and for years they were exported more compared to other new woven carpets. Gabe weaving flourished so much that not only the nomads of Fars, Kogligluye, and Boya Ahmad, Shahar Mahal, and Bakhtiari, who were traditionally engaged in gabe weaving, but also many cities and villages in the south and center of Iran launched gabe weaving workshops. In addition to reviving the art of gabe weaving, which was almost being forgotten, rural and nomadic carpet weaving cooperatives and large dyeing centers were also established by Jihad of Construction and handicrafts organizations of Iran to improve the quality and quantity of carpet weaving in some parts of the country. But one of the most impressive innovations after the revolution was weaving large carpets by several hundred meters long by the initiative Iran Carpet Joint Stock Company. If we want to mention one of these masterpieces, we should visit the United Arab Emirates. This is the Sheikh Zayed Mosque in Abu Dhabi, the UAE. The Sheikh Zayed Mosque is the third grand mosque in the world, which also houses the world's largest carpet. The largest carpet in the world, which is spread in this mosque since 2010, is 5,634 square meters and is made by 1,200 carpet weavers living in Neishabur, who have woven it in two daily and night shifts for 18 months. This large carpet, which has been recorded as the world's largest carpet in Guinness Book, was unveiled in a ceremony attended by local and foreign journalists in the Grand Mosella Mosque of Tehran. Every day, nearly 2,000 tourists visit the world's largest carpet in Sheikh Zayed Mosque. The design of this carpet is an overall flower covering five medallions in the middle of a green inner field. In the inner field of the carpet, embossed lines have been created that cannot be seen from a distance, but can be seen up close and guide the worshippers in creating straight and orderly processions. Another sample of hand-woven masterpieces after the revolution is spread in this location, Sultan Qaboos Grand Mosque in Oman. This carpet was woven in Naishabur for 3 years and was spread in this mosque in 2001. At the time, this carpet was considered the largest hand-woven carpet in the world. The approximate dimensions of this carpet are 60 by 70 meters, and it covers the entire surface of the main nave. The design of the central medallion of this carpet is inspired by the motifs of the Sheikh Lotfullah Mosque in Isfahan. Each of the oval motifs of this medallion gradually gets larger as it moves away from the center of the medallion and reflects a dome that is exactly under the dome of the Grand Mosque and creates a beautiful harmony with the interior architecture of the mosque. The inner field of the carpet is decorated with palmette flowers, and the weft is pure cotton yarn, and the pile is wool. This carpet now covers the main nave of Sultan Qaboos Grand Mosque in Muscat, Oman. With the establishment of Iran National Carpet Center at the beginning of 2003, the support of this national art and industry became targeted and focused. Therefore, despite the unfavorable economic situation, Iran's carpet maintained its global export position in the second to fourth ranks. Currently, 2 million people are directly engaged in carpet weaving, and 191,000 people are working in its ancillary industries. Also, there are 115 conservatories in the field of carpets and 5,500 graduates of hand-woven carpet art. According to statistics, the largest export of Iranian carpets took place in 1994. This year, Iran was able to set a record of $2,117,000,000 in the export of hand-woven carpets, setting the best carpet export statistics for itself. In this year, nearly 44% of Iran's non-oil exports were supplied only through carpets, and around 5 to 7 million new jobs were created. Only 1 year later, i.e. in 1995, the amount of exports decreased from $2 billion to $1 billion, and in 1996, this number reached $675 million. In 2021, the exports of Iran's hand-woven carpets reached around $50 million. Among the reasons for the decline in the export of Iranian carpets are the sanctions, the presence of cheap carpets from China and India under the name of Iranian carpets, money transfer problems, lack of presence in international markets, and policies such as foreign exchange liabilities, neglecting delicate weaving and the quality of hand-woven carpets. In the foreign exchange liability, carpet traders are obliged to deliver the currency obtained from unsold carpet in the ways determined by the central bank. If the businessman cannot fulfill the foreign exchange obligation, their business card will be cancelled. This policy has caused many businessmen to cease the export of Iranian carpets and rugs. On the other hand, the increase in the cost of carpet weaving raw materials has also reduced the amount of production. Despite all these problems, Iran is usually among the three main carpet exporting countries in the world, and the Iranian carpets are still one of the most popular and high-quality ones in the global markets. Therefore, with a little support and attention, it can return to its main position. One of the solutions is to remove obstacles such as foreign exchange liabilities. Removing wrong policies and obstacles will definitely lead to more traders to export carpets. In addition to this, supporting organizations, given the importance of the production process, should also put supporting designers and weavers on their agenda. At the same time, experts need to prepare a targeted program for carpet production by examining the culture, demand, and taste of different countries. Countries like Latin America, China, and Russia have the largest markets for Iranian carpets. And among European countries, Germany, England, and Switzerland also use Iranian carpets. Arab countries like Lebanon, Kuwait, Qatar, and the UAE also demand Iranian carpets. If suitable markets for the export of hand-woven carpets and their needs are recognized, i.e. if the carpets are exported in a specialized manner and according to the tastes of the people of each country, Iranian carpets can compete in the best possible way in the country's markets. Another issue that has a great impact on exports is effective advertising. In order to export as many carpets as possible, it is necessary to be seen in international markets with professional advertisements. In this regard, the unique features of Iranian carpets that do not exist in Chinese, Indian, and Afghan carpets should be introduced to international buyers. Continued presence in public and virtual media, documenting and broadcasting on international networks, adds to the boom in sales and exports. The history of carpets in Iran is more than 2,500 years old. Iranian carpets have always been famous for their richness of color, variety of artistic patterns, and design quality. So the Iranian carpets are kept in palaces, famous buildings, mansions, and museums all over the world. Unfortunately, material intellectual property rights at the national and international level, i.e. copyright, is not implemented in our country, and this issue has led to the registration of Iranian designs in other countries by some profit seekers. Sometimes the designs and patterns of great Iranian designers in a different historical era are woven by weavers in China, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and other countries and are sold at a low price in global markets under the name of Iranian carpets, hurting the credibility, authenticity, and national identity of Iranian carpet. Machine-made carpet factories have closed the path for innovation and creation of new designs based on the needs of today's customers of Iranian hand-woven carpet by abusing the absence of the material intellectual property rights and weaving the designs of authentic hand-woven carpet brands. With the recognition and implementation of the material intellectual property rights regarding the design, pattern, dyeing, weaving, method of carpets, and other required items, the position of Iranian carpets at the international level will be improved. Our country relies on the export of carpets as a means of income. But with this historical background, the officials should just focus on supporting this art so that the Iranian carpet provides a large part of the country's non-oil income and helps develop this land by job creation, and to hand over this trust in the second flag of our dear Iran to the next generations.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Rohullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. Inshallah, today, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir will talk about Ayah 92 of Surah Al-Imran on page 62, chapter 4 of the Quran Kareem. Yeah? Juz'ur Rabi'. Yes?
Yes.
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Inshallah, I'll talk about this. Let's everybody first listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ.
Superb. Alhamdulillah. Nice recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. In this ayah, Allah Almighty says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain piety, okay, birr, until you spend out of what you hold dear, okay, dear to yourself, what you love more. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And whatever you may spend of anything, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah indeed knows it. Allah is knowledgeable about it, okay? An important message is there, a very lovely thing Allah Almighty says, that all believers, if you want to attain piety, if you want to attain piety, okay? Like a level of, what do we say, dedication, a level of dedication, if you want to attain, so you can't attain this, you will never attain this, except you do these things. What? Whatever you love, things that you love, if you are able to donate them, if you're able to give them as charity, almsgiving, okay? If you do so, it means you just sacrifice it, yes? If you do so, yeah, you, again, piety. It means if you have this bravery to do so, okay, for Allah Almighty, you will attain piety. You will attain, okay, that level of dedication, that level of iman you have. Allah Almighty actually tests the Muslims, the believers, that how faithful they are. So if you want to test your faith, if you want to test your iman, okay, do it so. Look, for example, Allah Almighty always blesses, yes? He's the blessing. He's the all-sustainer. For example, you received Eidi or a present from your friends. Like, for example, 1 million thumans you received. Yes? So how Allah Almighty tests you? Look, you walk on the street, okay? A poor man comes by, okay? To you and begs and asks you for some money. Allah Almighty gave you what? A million thuman, yes? A million thuman. Like, yeah, a friend of you gave you. So it's basically from Allah Almighty, yes? So you have received a million thuman. First, you should understand that this is from Allah Almighty. You could even do not receive it, yes? But you received it. So now this poor man that comes by and asks you for a 10,000 thuman, you got 1 million, he asks for 10,000 thuman. If you can, yes, fight with your evil desire, that your evil desire says, come on, this money is for you. You don't have to give it to anyone. Keep it for yourself. You'll need it. You need to buy that. You need to buy a pen. You need to buy a notebook. You need to buy, data bundle. You need to buy, like, whatever, chewing gum. You need to buy a biscuit. Look, these are evil desires that tells you, trying to prevent you from donating. Okay, if you fight this and you give at least 10,000 tuman to that poor person, it means you're attaining piety. If you want to be thankful to Allah Almighty, look, Allah Almighty has given you, for example, 10 million thumans. Really, is it really fair that you don't even donate 10,000 of that? Yeah, you say, no, it's mine. When Allah Almighty gave you, He didn't say it's mine. 10 million thumans He gave you, for example. You even don't donate, you don't have this bravery to donate only 10,000, 1,000 thuman. If you don't do so, it means really you are not thankful to Allah Almighty. You will never attain piety. Okay? This ayah, actually there is a story behind the occasion of revelation, is that Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, in her wedding night, okay, a poor lady came by, okay, and asked for help. Lady Zahra donated what? Her wedding dress. She donated her wedding dress. This is actually something. A bride, yes? A lady in her wedding party, doesn't she love to wear that? She yes. loves the most. She is so loving it, yes? But she did what she donated, whatever she what she loved. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ حُبَّ. You love. If you don't donate things you love, from those things, not all of them. مِمَّا, it says مِنْمَا, it means a part of something you love the most, okay? We love money. If you are not able to donate some money, you will not attain piety. Yes? You love your food, to eat food, okay? Spicy food. Yeah, yummy food. The poor person comes by and you're eating in the restaurant. If you're not able to buy him, if you don't, you can, you're able to do. If you're not able, it's okay. If you can and if you don't, share your food with him, or at least buy for him something, or at least give him some money to eat something, okay? You will not attain piety. Okay? We should fight our desires, evil desires, inshallah, okay? So guys, if we want to be amongst those who have taqwa, piety, inshallah, we have to be among the charitable persons.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
I want you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, and study more. Now we will mention some important Tajweed rules, and inshallah, all class will be over. We will ask you to stay with IRB English Radio, inshallah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. So لن نون ساكن plus تا. Whenever you find a نون ساكن or a تنوين, make sure that there is a تجويد rule applied, must be applied.
Yes.
So نون ساكن plus تا. Yeah, نون ساكن approaches تا here. تا matches the rest of the letters. Yes. We had four groups of the letters. Yarmalun letters, that the rule idgham is applied. And throat letters, that the rule idhar is applied. And the letter ba, that the rule iqlab is applied. And the rest of the letters, will be for the rule ikhfa, and you have to hide the sound of the noon sakin. A hidden noon sound should be pronounced there, okay? لن تنالوا لن تنالوا البر تنالوا البر. You skip the waw mad, yes, and you skip hamzatul wasl, you skip the alif there as well. لن تنالوا البر. Read it, everybody. لن تنالوا البر.
لا تنالوا البر.
أحسن. حتى تنفقوا. تنفقوا again. Nun ساكن plus fa. Fa is again with the letter tha. They are in the same group.
Yeah.
تنفقوا. We hide the sound of noon. تنفقوا مما تحبون. مما. It is actually min ma. Nun ساكن plus ميم. Idgham is applied here. Mimma. So we, as we see, there are, it's a mushaddad mim, yes?
Yeah.
So it produce a nasal sound for mushaddad mim for two counts. Mimma. Right? Mimma tuhibbun. When you stop here, stretch the sound for like four counts, three counts. Hassan, Jim says you must stop here or no?
It's jais to stop or continue.
It's optional?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. So, Jim says it is jais. Yeah, it's taken from the word jais. Yeah, it's either you stop here or continue. There's no problem with it. So, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا. تُنْفِقُوا. Nun sakin plus fa. تُنْفِقُوا. Again, the same.
Yeah.
إِخْفَى. مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Again, we got a nun sakin. How many nun sakin we have here? Nun sakin plus sheen. Sheen again matches the letter fa, ta, tha, seen. Yeah? Saad, da, ta, va. So, ikhfa is applied. Min shayin. But you pronounce it the way, in a way that the reader understands, sheen comes after it. Min shayin. Right? Min shayin. In tanween. After tanween, fa. Oh, you know it. The rule?
إخفاء.
Hide the sound again. مِن شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. فَإِنَّ نُن مُشَدَّد. الله نُن. Sorry. الله. The letter lam is pronounced with a la sound. Yeah? Heavy sound. There is a fatha before. بِهِ. There is a fall on ya, you see. It indicates the yamad.
Yamad.
بِهِ. Stretch the sound. Alim. If you stop here, you should stretch it as well. Ayn is important to pronounce, okay? So guys, in this ayah, the most important rules and majority of the rules were with the noon.
Yes.
Yeah? Lan tanalu noon again. Tunfiqu noon. Yes? Mimma. Minma. Again noon. Tunfiqu again noon. Min shayin again noon. Shayin. Tanween, which is actually noon sound. Fa'in, again noon. Yes? So, most of the rules were about the noon sakin and the tanween. So, Allah bless you, inshallah. We mentioned now, I will read it with tajweed rules. Listen carefully and repeat after me. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون.
لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون.
وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم.
وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسن ما شاء الله. Lovely. إن شاء الله. That's it from us for today, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us. Allah bless you, inshallah. Stay with IRB English Radio. Tomorrow, the same time, we'll be here again with the next Quranic sessions, talking about the verses or ayats of Surah Ali Imran, inshallah. Hassan Hussein Al Nasir, a bunch of thanks to you for being with us today. Anything to say?
No, sir.
Allah bless you. See you with the next Quranic sessions. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Palestinians in the occupied West Bank carry out a new rocket attack on Israeli settlements in response to the regime's atrocities. The Libyan capital experienced